catch up on Kennedy Molloy anywhere. Almost as easy as finding your perfect match to your form preferences this spring carnival with Ned's Filter Form. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Yes, hello, Australia. Welcome to the big Thursday edition of Kennedy Molloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mickey Molloy.
Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Oh, g'day, guys.
Here we go. I love a Thursday because that means Gone Wild is up and running. We
have got that right.
Stories from the animal kingdom that will blow your head off.
We do, and speaking of animals, our favourite vet in the world, Dr. Chris Brown, will be joining us as well.
I believe Dave finds him very attractive.
No.
That's what you said yesterday.
Don't you share it with
him. It may come up.
We promise we won't.
Okay, good. Thank you.
It may come up. Hey, while we're talking guests, Michael Klim.
Well, a great chance to speak to an
Olympian who's 20 years down the track. Yeah. Is he still in good nick? He's still in good nick.
Oh, yeah. He keeps himself in good. He's got a nice skincare range, so he's got lovely smooth skin.
Okay. Just saying. All right.
I'm glad to say that.
He's a metrosexual. Yeah. Always has been, always will be. Bloody good bloke. We'll have a chat to him.
Yeah, he's a good bloke.
He's got a new project or something.
It's a project to help Australia, really. And for people who are selling stuff, we want to keep everything in Australia and businesses to get back on their feet. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
It's all hands on deck. Bad parenting. Jane, let someone else have a go for once.
I know.
We're going to get
there.
You'll start this up. We'll put out the calls. It's always popular.
Yeah, it is indeed.
Apocalypse Watch is back.
Yes.
It's been a while, but there's a few stories we need to get around. They're going with the fireworks on New Year's Eve, people.
I'm fascinated by that. Just don't know what to think about all that.
Touch and go. You're playing your joker.
Oh, Gladys,
I'll tell you
what.
Someone who's been locked down for like 11 weeks now.
That's right.
Yeah.
You don't want that to blow up in your face.
You do not. No.
We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. We've got so much to get through.
Yeah, we do.
Hello, Jane. You're looking great. Dave, you're awesome.
Thank you.
What did we talk about yesterday on the show? There was a bit of...
Was it the Wentworth chat we were having about...
Because I've been watching Wentworth.
Yes, you love Wentworth.
Fruity language.
I love it.
Talking about
vinegar tits.
Yeah. And I said I wanted to roll on
We say, what could you play?
Why can't I just have a walk-on, walk-off
Which I think you would be perfect for.
I've done a two-hander with Sam Neill. Well, I'm a good actor.
You are.
Surely there's a part for me somewhere.
That'd be crazy not to get you on.
Our audience has responded. Our audience.
They have. And I might read some of them out.
Yeah,
can I?
What do they say?
Well, our good mate Jonathan Coleman has a suggestion.
Oh, yeah.
He said you could play a sexy screw with a gravy-stained uniform.
I'm already in costumes.
I think
Jonathan
that one's
Coleman?
A no-brainer. Steve Bastoni.
Okay, Coleman would be at the audition, though.
Coleman will be looking out.
Maybe we could both be screws. You and
Jonathan.
I'd like to see that.
Well, what about, here's another fine actor, Steve Bastoni. He's getting around.
Magnificent bastard.
He said Don Kaplan's cupcake supply.
now, who's Don Kaplan, by the way?
I assume he's a character on the show.
A big character.
Yeah, he is.
All right, Bastoni.
Yeah.
I'll be in touch.
You win this time. Yeah. Stuart Robinson says Gary Poole. He has a new job as a prison officer. Perfect. Yeah. Gary Poole is the same. You could do that easy. Oh,
sure.
Yeah. Shannon Stevens says, the Hamburglar.
what about a cat specimen goes, a recurring unnamed conjugal visitor called Mickey Bigelow, the Wentworth Gigolo.
And I think, what about this one from another mate, Wade Kingsley says, vinegar tits, or more like salt and vinegar tits.
or what about Adam from Singer, vinegar nuts.
Hey, this is a no-brainer if the casting people are listening.
Yeah. Talk to your agent.
Maybe my horse training character from Rides Like a Girl could be locked up.
Can you call that film by its right title, honestly? You will never get another movie role again if you keep carrying on like that.
Yeah. Sam, he's off playing with the dinosaur.
Well, yeah.
Can I tell you what I had to do today?
What?
And you know this because we're doing a show. And
what I had to do today.
I did have to do. Or
such
otherwise.
A chore for you, Jane.
What do you mean? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, no, not that. No,
I'm talking about
that's not happening yet.
What are you talking about?
I know what you've been up to.
Oh, no.
We were doing some show. We're just preparing here. We're doing some ads. And all of a sudden,
Oh, yeah, your neighbour.
So next door neighbour started his mower.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, I don't think I know you very well. I'm at a beach place.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So I had to go and tell him, excuse me.
Oh, no.
Can you please stop mowing? And they'd come especially to do it.
So you're like a Karen from Brighton style.
I was Karen from Brighton. Yeah. I had to say, excuse me. Look, I'm trying to do a national radio show here. He goes, oh, yeah, what show is it? Okay. And I went, oh, I do a show with Mick Malloy. He goes, oh, Mick. Yeah. Yes. Now he's interested.
So I got you out of trouble. I'm going to have a guess. I know your neighbourhood. It was a sit-down lawnmower, wasn't it?
No, it was not.
Oh, I know. You can tell.
No, in fact, he did say, I'm happy to shut it off, even though we've had a lot of trouble starting it and we just got it started. Oh, but for you, Jane, I will turn it off. So thank you very much.
I thought he was running it a bit rich too. It was, the throttle was way too high on that.
It was very high. That was because the woman was doing it.
This is how it starts. Starts off asking for a favour. This time next week, keys in a bowl. I know this.
No, I'm going to drop a bottle of wine tomorrow and say thank you.
We get the idea, Jane.
It's the neighbourly thing to do.
We get the idea.
Cheers. What happened to Jane? She went next door.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
We interrupt this program.
My message is...
How dare you?
Apocalypse Watch!
This is not a test.
Kennedy Malloy's Apocalypse Watch.
Has your neighbour got a wife? Because if you're going to swing, if you're going to swing, she's going to need.
I am not swinging, thank you. I just asked her please to not mow the lawn while we're doing our radio show.
You don't like it anymore.
Don't like what anymore?
Swinging.
You're an idiot.
Used to be huge.
You are a total flipping
idiot.
Learning
a lot about you today.
As if.
We were not curious, not just once.
No, not for kids, right?
No.
We've had a couple.
I am not curious in the slightest. I'll tell you what, I'm lucky I don't live in Colac in Victoria.
Colac?
We are leading somewhere.
Colac.
Oh, yeah. A swingers party in Colac came under police investigation because, oops, just a bit of a coronavirus outbreak.
And they're going,
where's this coming from? Yeah. Oh. Now, the town, there'd been a bit of gossip in the town. Let's just say down the cake shop and the pie shop.
On the Colac grapevine.
Correct. That. I wonder if it had anything to do with the swingers party that went down the other night.
Okay.
This is what I love. This is a line, sorry, this is what they say in the newspaper. Hosting a swingers event would be in clear breach of the chief health officer's rules aimed at curbing the spread of COVID. You think?
Yeah, I reckon there would have been quarantine security guards there in the swingers party.
On their track record,
now,
yes.
What do we know about Colac? Interesting. So it's a country regional town.
Yes.
Now, who's the type of person? Who comes from Colac?
Well, Aaron Finch, a cricketer. He's from Colac. Aaron Finch. Luke Hodge is from
Hodgie,
that neck
does
of the
he?
Woods
what
as
about
well.
Cliffy Young? That's what I think of.
Yes.
I think of potatoes and Cliffy Young.
Hey, Cliffy Young, you go in and you see a pair of gumboots on the end of the end of the bed.
Well, he was quite virile, apparently, old Cliffy.
Well, he had a
very young bride.
Who's probably met at the swingers party. All the pieces are coming together.
Jared Rebecca, Toadie from Neighbours.
Going like the clappers.
Yeah.
Taking on all comers.
That's right.
Hey, Toadie.
Hey, that is very, very interesting news.
Hey, swingers, can you calm the farm?
Yeah.
At least have a mask on.
Colac. Can everyone in Colac just take a chill
pill?
Just
watch out.
Just
no
wait
more
till
keys
we're
in the
out
bowl.
Of wait till stage four. Yeah, I think just, stage four, stage three is swingers back, isn't
right,
it?
Right, maybe. I'm not sure.
We're going to story now. We're going to Sydney. Now, this one, I just don't even know. I'm really going to sit on the fence on this one. I don't like doing that, but I just don't know what I make of it. Because New South Wales Premier Gladys has said that their fireworks are going to go ahead on New Year's Eve.
Wow.
Mm.
So who's going to watch them and from where? And will there be social distancing required? All I've seen is the greatest party ever in the history of the world with people bumper to bumper.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
A million people come in and stand there.
And on boats they'll be congregated, like bumper. They'll be you know, chock-a-blocking all the boats that are on the harbour. Is it for a television event or is it what's going on?
No, it's a huge thing for Sydney. It's like massively the first pictures of the new year and it goes around the world.
It's iconic.
And it's iconic.
Yeah.
But I've got to say, it's so good when you're there.
Put it this way, though. And take it from someone who's in lockdown.
Right.
Mm. If this went south and then I wasn't allowed to all of a sudden open my business again for 12 weeks because everyone wanted to have a party on New Year's Eve, you can't put a price on that. And you also then have to go, well, we never took it that seriously anyway. You can't then ask the public to go, guys, we need you all to go home and lock down and close up your businesses.
Yeah.
Why?
No. That's true. And you know, and we don't care if we don't see it for 1 year on the TV. Honestly, if we don't see Richard Wilkins and we don't see people going, here are the fireworks, we know it looks spectacular. But
a laser
show.
What about a Sydney?
Mickey to the rescue.
A Sydney. You know, they do those laser shows now. And they do the shows.
Oh, I know. Like
the drones.
White Nights.
They'll have a million drones in the sky forming shapes and patterns.
Yes.
It doesn't help because people are still going to go and watch it.
Yeah,
that's true. And then there's no point doing it anyway. We'll cope for 1 year without it. Aren't we all grown up enough to just deal with that?
I mean, some of those fireworks are bigger than the South Australian space program. You're like, they launched rocket the other day that was not as big. A cautionary tale, Sydney, do be very, very
interesting
careful.
Call.
I'd stay home
and watch it if it's happening. Stay home, I reckon.
Jeez. Good luck. Hey, here's something that will interest you, Jane.
Yeah, what's that?
I don't know what I thought of you straight away, and if you had a birthday coming up, I'd get you one of these.
Okay.
Qantas have sold out of its old 747 drinks carts.
You're joking.
Isn't that... Now,
a drinks trolley that you could have it in your home.
Do you remember we told them we wanted one in our studio?
Yes, we
that's right.
We wanted a drinks trolley. Then they were going to put in a bar. Then COVID hit.
Yeah, nothing.
You would be a fan of the drinks cart.
Oh, I am. That jingle, jingle,
that
jingle.
Rattle.
I've seen you throw yourself in front of one.
You've no idea. You know when you sometimes get those if you're halfway up that alley, that lane, and they start at the very, you think you're in business and they're going to start with you and they start the other end.
I know.
Oh, and they start running out of things.
Takes forever.
Qantas is an iconic bit of history now, isn't it? The 747 consigned to history.
Yeah.
And
I'd been onto it. Cost you 256,000 frequent flyer points or $1,474.
Easy peasy.
Hey, tell you what, people could GoFundMe to get me one of those.
That's just what
I need.
GoFund Jane Kennedy. Let's do it.
We'll put our heads together.
All right.
Oh, fantastic.
Good stuff. When we come back, guess what? Bad parenting it is.
Oh, stick around.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
What kind of mother am I?
I'm up for the father of you.
I'm afraid I'll be forced to call social services.
You know, when I was little, I used to pretend you weren't my mother.
Me too.
Time now for another entry into the Journal of Bad Parenting.
The opposite of me. I'm a very good parent.
You are.
At the moment. I'm teaching my boys to ride bikes at the moment, like really properly.
Good.
And there's
that's a big deal. It's very hard to do that,
There's a massive hill they want to... it's really huge. And they're boys, so they just want to go as fast as they can down the hill. And if I turn my back, they will.
Right.
So I've got them used to the idea of... You know, they call it flying hours. So a airline pilot has to have so many flying hours before he's allowed to graduate or get
his license.
So I said, you need to have this many riding hours. Before you can
take
do it. So they just ring me 8 times a day now telling me what their latest...
How many hours have they been riding collating? Hours, that's brilliant.
And then their mum rang me and told me they'd done it.
Oh, they've done it, have they? Well done, Fred.
Down at Mach 5, apparently.
Oh, you'd have the brake on the whole way.
Have the bag of ice on standby.
Oh, jeez. The games begin. Anyway, bad parenting. Jane, where do you want to start?
Well, I think I'll go to Orlando in Florida, and they, of course, they need to wear masks there because they've got very high rates of COVID there. Shocking.
Sure.
A fifth grade student, though, was told not to wear his mask because of what was written on it.
Why? What?
His dad had given him a Hooters mask to wear.
What?
And the teacher told him to take it off because it was inappropriate.
I would argue that's still good parenting. It's not the best parenting, but the mask is the main
thing.
Well,
it's creative, wasn't it? Now, I've seen a picture of this kid, and he's just got, it's the Hooters logo. It's not like a bird with a cans out.
It just says Hooters. I know what it is.
It just says it's Hooters.
It'll be white with orange writing.
Oh, yeah,
well, not very well.
Funnily enough, you would know it well. I haven't frequented Hooters myself.
Pick hello to everyone at Mexico, Cancun, Hooters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
Really.
Jeez. The school principal told the dad that he thought it was offensive. And the dad said, look, we go there as a family. We eat their wings. We watch sports. We have chocolate cake. We go there all the time, and it's not an offensive mask. So he said he's not going to take it off his son.
He knows what's going on. How old?
11.
I'll put it out there, boys. We all remember the first time our teacher pushed her buzzies into the back of our head while she was correcting our...
Shout out to Ms. Guy.
On our page.
Ms. Guy creeps me out.
She was
Hello, Mrs. O'Hare.
She was a sports teacher.
But, you know, in there you go, whoa, crikey, what's happening here? Oh, my God.
I've got another one for you, bad parent. By the way, if you're a bad parent, give us a call, 133353.
If you remember the first time you're buzzing, you push your buzzers in the back of your head, give us a call, boys.
Our board will light up.
That's another whole phone.
Yep. Okay. It is another phone. And now we go to Melbourne today where a four-year-old boy was playing by himself quietly, a little too quietly in the living room.
That's always the first sign of trouble.
Yeah.
It is the first sign. Alessio Caruso, age 4. Was a bit bored in lockdown.
Yeah.
He's climbed into, and you get these big tins
of
Chupa Chups.
Yeah,
you know those?
Yeah.
Well, he's climbed into it, which
is
kind of
cute. It's like a Neverfail-sized bottle of water. So it's not quite as big.
Bigger than a can of tomatoes.
Correct.
But it's, quite big. And he jumps inside because it's fun to do.
No.
But he can't get out, can he? So she had to call 000.
And say, my kid's stuck in a Chupa Chup tin?
Yes.
Jaws of life.
She felt like the biggest idiot calling emergency, and she just said, look, I don't know how else to say this, but my son's stuck in a Chupa Chup tin. And all services were alerted, fireys, ambos, and the police.
First
and they
responders.
All came.
Oh,
and they
my
freed
God.
Her son. You know what? In this era, that's got to be a happy call to take. And they got him out.
I'd love to hear the 911 call. I'd just really love to hear that call. I'd like to introduce a bad parenting. Bindi Irwin.
Oh, our national treasure.
I tell you, you can't do that about Bindi.
Well, Bindi Irwin, who's pregnant with a young daughter. She's coming down the pipe. The child isn't even out yet.
No.
That's right.
But she's already, have a listen to this.
Okay.
The pair spilling the news over social media saying our beautiful daughter is now about the same size as a hatchling tortoise. Plenty of fans quick to suggest names for the soon-to-be parents. Stevie coming in as a hot favourite.
Well, I don't know if you want to be comparing you.
It's not a great
you're
image.
First born to the
baby.
Baby animals.
Nah.
Well, baby tortoise is a weird
baby
one.
Baby tortoise, like, which is
if it was
a
baby chicken, a little chicken or a baby fawn.
Guinea pig.
Well, that'll look cute, I don't think.
baby
Joey. That's what I thought
baby
you would
wombat.
Say.
Baby
A marsupial at least, Bindi. Come on.
What are you doing, Bindi?
That's all right. She'll keep us updated, no doubt, and we're very excited. It's great news she's having a little girl.
All right. Well done. You've cleaned that up. 133353.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Michael Klim, Olympian, is going to join us about 10-15 minutes from now. We've got Dr. Chris Brown as well. He's in the second hour, but we're doing bad parenting, and you can get involved. Might win a prize too. 133353.
Yep.
It's time to fess up with your bad parenting.
Get on the line. They're queuing up. Let's take Mary first. Mary, are you the bad parent?
I am such a bad parent.
All right, what have you done?
Well, once we were doing a car rally and I had a car full of kids.
Yeah.
And I had a 15-year-old sitting in the front seat with me, sassing me.
Mm.
So while I was doing a U-turn on a hill, I sarcastically commented that maybe she might just want to open the door up and jump out. To which she actually did.
All right.
Well, she showed you.
And how bad were the graze marks on her legs?
Well, she, mind you, after the screaming and I stopped the car in the centre of the road, We found out she was actually still holding on to the door, and she popped up and went, yeah, all good.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, that's very dramatic, and well done for some bad parenting there, Mary.
All right, good stuff. Ken's on the line. Ken, is some bad parenting going on, mate?
Oh, mate, I took my two sons to the races when they were about 8 or 10.
Yep. That's good parenting straight off the bat, by the way. Get them in early, teach them the lie of the land. Yep.
I got that drunk, I'd actually rang my wife for her to pick them up, and she sent her grandmother to get them. And I'd forgotten that I'd actually rang, and I thought I'd lost them.
So they'd already been picked up by their grandma.
They'd already been picked up by their grandma. I thought I'd lost them, and I called the security, and they've locked it down looking for my two sons. And I finally rang my wife and said, I've lost Jack and Tommy, and she's like, you know, my mother picked them up. What do you want to do?
Okay. And too, by the way, there's only one reason to take 8 and 10-year-old boys to the races. That's so they can drive your car home when you get too drunk. Ken, you know that. I know that.
Ken, that's very, very nice.
We know
nice
you love
work.
A drink, Ken. And we've got some Brick Lane coming your way, the draft, which you can get from Dan Murphy's as well. So a case of that coming to you, buddy.
Shall we go to Dan? Cool.
Let's go to Dan.
G'day, Dan. How are you going?
Yeah, good.
Are you the bad parent?
Yeah,
nice. Good on you. Yeah, share it. Share it with us all. We're not on.
So my daughter, when I was teaching her to drive, not far from our place, there's a dirt road. So I thought I'll give her some experience, and we're going down there. And I said, "Oh, you better slow down a bit. You're moving a bit too quick down here." And I said, "Oh, you better slow down, slow down." Then I handbraked her, big fishtail.
Oh, no.
Well, you're teaching her all the driving skills. That's got to be included, surely. Well done, Dan.
Some parents are just not any good at teaching their children to drive. My father, let's just say he was a military man, and I sat in the back once while he taught one of my sisters on driving lesson.
Gave it a miss, did you?
Oh, man. Let's just say, diplomacy wasn't as strong suit.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, you're not frigging Sterling Moss. As we're on two wheels going around a corner in his defence. Yeah. Hey, good stuff.
I want to go to Craig
if we can. Let's do it.
Hello, Craig. How are you doing?
G'day, how are you going?
Yeah, really good. Are you the bad dad?
I am a bad dad, actually, only just a couple of weeks ago. This was recent.
Yeah, what happened?
I was playing Nerf Wars in the backyard, the whole family of us, and I got a bit too competitive, and I shot the kids. They got hit in the head. They were crying, and for me to win the game, I had to shoot the wife to say I was the king of the family, and as she went to attend the kids, I shot her and said, yes, I would.
Right.
Oh, you make this country proud. That's what we like to hear.
You've been in lockdown for too long.
Yeah,
mate.
That's it.
He shot his wife and kids with a Nerf gun.
Well, it doesn't get better than
Can
that.
Can I say, these Nerf guns are getting out of control, by the way. There's a fair bit of horsepower under the bonnet.
Don't worry about that.
Don't worry. There's sneak attacks on Dad. Quite popular these days.
Yeah. No, they.
It isn't. Hey, shall we take a break and we come back if we've got some more callers?
Let's come back and take some more.
Yeah, bad parenting.
We're on a roll.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Dr. Chris Brown is going to join us soon. Song Whisperer is coming up. Joining us right now is Olympian Michael Klim on Kennedy Molloy.
Given it's a 20-year anniversary of one of the most magical moments in Australian sport, you mightn't have heard this ever. It's a clip from the Olympics. Hold on, Michael.
Australia win. New world record. The Australians have just broken the American stranglehold on this race. It's lifting off this stadium.
Yeah, I wasn't going for a personal best or anything. I just wanted to get the guys a pretty good lead. And then I knew that all the guys would have done the job, and they did. And it's just the best feeling I've ever had.
Now, Michael, does it feels like yesterday or another lifetime ago? Which one?
Look, it feels like 20 years ago, to be honest. Look, I'm very glad that obviously that event happened, and the fact that we're still talking about it this long ago, makes me feel pretty good. And it's a special time in my history, and obviously Australian sporting history.
Yep.
Hey, Mike, have you been able to get together and see your mates from the relay team, Chris Fodler and Thorpey and Ashley?
We caught up with Chris and Thorpey on the night of the swim on the 16th of September. Unfortunately, Ashley Callis couldn't get down to Sydney. He's stuck in Queensland with the border closures. But,
wow.
We had a couple
God.
Cut out in there.
Hey, Michael, and congratulations to you as someone who came through the Australian Swimming School and didn't turn out to be a total nutbag. Because there are quite a few of you do
is
go
that
off
correct?
Quite a few of you do go off the rails.
Hang on.
But you've never turned up in your underpants in a hotel foyer. And I think for that you should be congratulated.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks.
I haven't been caught, I guess.
I was about to say. Maybe not.
You've gone on to do so much. You're a successful businessman. We're going to get to that in just a moment and talk about this exciting business opportunity for all Australians. But can we ask you, before we get there, the Olympics was cancelled this year and may or may not go ahead next year. Has someone who's involved in a very hard sport or was involved in a very hard sport and where the light shines only every 4 years, how hard would this be for athletes and in particular swimmers who spend their lifetime cultivating this dream? How hard would it be for those Olympians right now?
Look, I think it's difficult in the sense that, you know, we measure our preparation to a day, to an hour. So I think some of the guys that potentially might be stretching their career a little bit to see if they can get to another Olympic Games, or some of the youngsters potentially that might be short of making Olympic Games, they might have an advantage right now with the Olympics going on next year. So I think it's the only comfort in this situation is that everyone's in the same boat and everyone has to adapt. And you know, I've seen obviously the Aussie swim team working out in the backyards and doing chin-ups with, you know,
or struggling to get into a pool in Melbourne. It's been complete lockdown. So we have heard a bit of a whisper. Mac Horton wasn't able to get in a pool.
He's complaining that he can't train for eight weeks. You would have loved that.
Exactly. Look, it's, you know, I don't like to make excuses, but I think he is the thing outside the square. But certainly for swimming, it's very hard to replicate, you know, swimming training when you can't get in the pool. Mm. So it is a disadvantage. And Victorians, obviously, I have a swim school, Klim Swim, and we want the pools to open as well, just from a water safety point of view, so the kids can, you know, get back and learn to swim as well.
Well, just on that too, Michael, I have to thank you for your pool has taught all my kids to swim in Richmond, so thank you for that.
No worries, it's done okay.
And they're all right.
And you've also taught my kids to play the air guitar really well. So
that's great. Now let me
get on
to
lead guitar.
Well, when you leave sport and you go into another career, this was an unusual one. That was to go into a skincare range, but you're ahead of your time, Klimmy, with Milk and Co. You really are, because that is an industry that is
on Cocoa Bananas.
And well done with that. How's it going literally at the moment?
Look, at the moment, we're struggling just like everybody else. I think we definitely experienced a drop down in our sales, especially in Victoria with the reduction in foot traffic. But, you know, I guess we're comfortable in the sense that everyone had to adapt and find other ways of getting sales. But, we understand it's a tough time for everybody, and some of the products we make aren't essentials anymore for people. So I think hopefully it will bounce back and everyone will understand. And, so obviously, you know, as we're going to touch on soon, Buy Aussie Now is a great marketplace that, you know, everyone's going to jump on and support each other, support brands like myself, but also consumers know that they're supporting the local economy. So, you know,
Let's get into it now. So what is this? Explain it to us.
Yeah, well, it's the only marketplace of its kind, really, but that only stocks products from Australia, and it's a marketplace that supports the Aussie-owned products and Aussie-made products. So it's one that's, you know, hopefully in the future can take on Amazon and some of the other.
How do you find it?
The name of it is Buy Aussie Now. Let's just get that clear.
And how do you track it down? If I want to get into it, where do I go? What am I doing?
Just go to buyaussienow.com.au and, you know, and also their Instagram, which is pretty easy, Buy Aussie Now, mate. You find Milk & Co. on there,
all the other great Aussie
brands as well.
Right, Milk & Co., can I ask you this? The men's skin range, is the ship sailed for me, or is it too late?
Will this be useful?
Can I make a late break for it?
Look, Mick, I can't reverse time, but I can hopefully stop it.
You are ageless looking. Can I just say, one of the guys Michael, you've been, I'm not saying lucky because it might be genetic and also your skincare range, but you're a great advertisement for it, mate, I have to say. We also just want to say good luck with Milk & Co. Also, this Buy Aussie Now is a great
buy
proposal.
Buy Aussie Now. I think that's a great idea, especially in these times. It's been a terrible, terrible year. People are struggling. Yep. And as you say, especially not the big boys, but those who are relying on foot traffic out there, retail.
Your small businesses.
Come on.
And we want to support
help everyone
them all.
Out. All hands on deck.
Where are you speaking from right now, Clemmy?
I'm halfway between Ballina and Byron Bay. And
oh, you poor thing. That sounds terrible.
You really shit me, Clem.
No, I just wanted to say we were listening to your chat on TikTok the other day, and we've got the same dilemma with our kids, you know, obviously with them spending so much time and the influence of that. So we enjoyed your show. So thank you for entertaining us on our trip.
And say hello to all the celebrities there for us.
Yeah, yeah. Zac Efron.
Yeah, say hello to Zac.
tell Zac he owes me money. I haven't forgotten.
Well, then I'll get it for you, buddy.
All right.
Well done.
Good on you, Clemmy.
Michael Clem. Hey, by the way, we want to thank Channel 7 for the Olympic audio, giving us permission to play that as well.
And by the way,
Front Bar, tonight you're back on the TV and a friend of our show is going to join you. That's going to be awesome. So check that on Channel 7 tonight, Front Bar. That's Michael Clem. We've got the Song Whisperer up next.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Coming up soon, Dr. Chris Brown. And being a Thursday, we do Gone Wild. That's coming up for you too, Kennedy Malloy.
Cannot wait. Jane, we've been doing bad parenting. I think we can squeeze one more in before the song Whisperer. Sarah's on the line.
Okay.
Sarah, are you the bad parent?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. What have you done? What's your? Give us a sample of your work.
A group of us were walking late at night. My boys, I have twin boys. They kept running away.
Tell me about it. 8 to 10. Yeah, tell me about it.
They were running away and I kept saying, come back. This is dangerous. They wouldn't. So I snuck ahead.
Yeah.
Ran ahead as they were going to.
Hey, Sarah, can you hold your phone up to your mouth, please? Oh, you keep dropping in and out.
Sorry. Yeah. As I snuck up behind them, grabbed them from behind, put one hand over each of their mouths and dragged them into the bushes and whispered, that's how easy it happened.
Oh, God.
You fake kidnapped your own kids.
Parent of the year, Sarah.
Oh, wow. And has it altered their behaviour?
Yeah.
Well, they don't leave the house now.
they're too terrified to leave.
It's like herding cats, isn't it? They go off and then they're in different directions. You don't know who to follow. You go, I'll choose my favourite, Fred. And next thing you know, hey, what about a prize?
Yeah, what about a case of Brick Lane, the draft coming your way, Sarah? Thanks for calling from Adelaide. We appreciate that. It's on its way.
Good stuff, Sarah. Keep up the good parenting. Yeah. Time for this.
Jay, the Song Whisperer.
Yesterday you were ridiculous.
It was tricky.
David Bowie, Suffragette City.
Great song, mate, but we had to go via the Cape to get there.
Yeah,
no, people got it, though, in the end.
They were on to it.
Commonwealth
Album,
1961.
Yeah, I'm on. I was just saying. Dumb it down a bit, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe today's the day.
Well, here you go. It's coming for you now.
Synopsis, please.
It is this one.
A hardworking factory worker dreams of living in a remote part of the world.
Working class man.
To be.
That's what I was going to say. Shut up.
Wait till the end. He's telling his love interest that he's saving his dough and planning to leave the rat race
behind. Checking Diane.
He's going to finally be his own man, making his own decisions, living the life he wants to
live.
What
about me?
Stop it.
Not what about me. He says he's going to, but then it appears he's gone out on the town and blown his savings on booze. The song ends where it began, an unfulfilled promise to seek a better life.
Blown it all sky high.
Oh, what the hell?
No.
God. Well, you've just said all the ones I was going to say.
And it's not working class man either.
All right.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, I said it, okay?
A hardworking factory worker dreams of living in a remote part of the world.
Yeah. Remote part of Australia.
Bad luck.
Dave, what do you think? No, I didn't realise it's... Oh, I don't know. I was going to think... When you said rat race, I was thinking like Boomtown Rats maybe.
Oh, yes.
What about Rat Cat? Anything from Rat Cat?
Oh, Rat Cat, I don't care, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to let you do the synopsis again once more, uninterrupted.
No,
Jane,
why?
Be quiet. Let him do the whole thing.
No, because people have already got it.
Have they? We don't know that.
I'm sure they have.
hardworking factory worker dreams of living in a remote part of the world. He's telling his love interest that he's saving his dough and planning to leave the rat race behind.
Good on him. It's a noble pursuit.
Now you're still interrupting.
He's going to finally be his own man, making his own decisions and living the life he wants to live.
Good on him.
He says he's going to, but then it appears he's gone out on a bender on the town and blown his savings on
booze. The old bender.
Yeah.
And the song ends where it began, with an unfulfilled promise to seek a better life.
Well, good luck with that.
Racket?
Not Racket.
I saw them playing in Edinburgh. I saw a band playing that song out the front of a music store in Edinburgh while I was there for the festival with one amp and two guitars. I went up and said, how do you know that song? They go, we're Rat Cat.
No way.
They were playing there as a promoter.
Simon Day and the band, yeah.
It was a good song.
Great song. Great Australian band too.
Who knows where they are now.
All right, 133353, get involved with the Song Whisperer.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Coming up in this hour, Dr. Chris Brown, who was caught, throwing a hand grenade into the room here.
Because I beg your pardon?
Why? Jane and Dave made allusions to how erotic they find him.
No, I don't find him erotic.
You said
and
it?
I've never said erotic either, so take that back.
Yeah, you take that back. Yeah,
take it back.
Never.
Oh, my God. We're going to speak with the erudite, Dr. Chris Brown, about the animal world. And we're not going to bring up eroticism, or are we, Dave?
Erudite. You better not.
What does that mean? Hornbag?
Erudite? Look it up in your Funkin' Wagnall.
Don't say Funkin' Wagnall.
Might have to dump that.
Dump it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go wild as well because we've got some great stories. We got a drunk worm story. Believe it or not.
How to tell when a worm's drunk?
Tell you what I came across yesterday when I was walking the dog.
A bunch
of Spitfires. You know what they are? They're like little caterpillars and they live in gum trees.
Sorry, Mick's going to tune out about right now.
And it was like this big nest of them. They're on the ground.
Dump this anecdote.
And I didn't know what they were. And I've asked the tour to they said they're Spitfires. And I haven't seen those since the 80s. Right.
Let's get out of the music. Come back. Now start again. You've got a what? A Spitfire.
He found a whole bunch of caterpillars. Of
they're called Spitfires. And apparently they spit. And anyway, it's on my Twitter.
No, it's just a bunch of caterpillars all on top of
it. But it was a mass of them on the ground. I've never seen it before.
And
fell out of a gum tree, apparently, and they destroy gum trees. So they're a bloody pest. Anyway.
This is what happens when people are in lockdown.
Go on, Wild's coming up.
They get a bit excited. I was seeing
more of that.
People know what I'm talking about.
Tune in for more rock and roll.
Why didn't they spit at you?
Well, they do spit. I was watching it. I took a video of them, and they're like, they spit. I don't know what they're spitting, but it's probably venom.
Have you got the video on you?
Yeah, I have.
Could you delete it?
He's put it on. You didn't tag our show, did you?
No. All right.
Here we go. Song Whisperer, once more. Synopsis, please.
A hardworking factory worker dreams of living in a remote part of the world. He's telling his love interest that he's saving his dough
working
and planning
for the man.
To leave.
Oh, good job.
Not working
My
for the man.
God.
But he's going
to
leave the rat race behind. He's going to finally be his own man, making his own decisions, living the life he wants to lead. He says he's going to, but then it appears he's gone out on the town and blown his savings on booze.
What a dick.
The song ends where it begins.
It sounds like your life story.
Does he grow up at all? Does he ever grow up?
That's the thing, Mick. He's growing up too fast.
What a good
and
country
he can't
girl.
Get his youth back. It's an unfulfilled promise to seek a better life.
God. Okay. Adam.
Hello, Adam.
What's your thinking, Adam?
Hello. I think it's Baker Street, Jerry Rafferty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Great sax.
Yes, but where's the words, Dave? We got the sax bit, but we need the words, don't we?
That's all I got.
This is in the Boz Skaggs camp, really.
It is not.
Don't you ever contradict me on it. Don't you think? It's like in that terrain.
No, they're not. No, well, the same era, aren't they? They are, so I'll give you that one.
No one ever supports me.
I told you, I'll give that to you.
Yes.
It's not Baker Street.
I wanted to hear him. I wanted to hear the beginning of Baker Street, and I want to hear the words.
Well, it's about a minute in, and then, we don't have that.
We got ages, don't we? For me to just be self-indulgent.
Close but no cigar.
Hello, Angie.
Not correct.
Hi, how are you doing?
How you going? Really good, Angie. Hey, well, tell us what you think it is.
I think it's Jimmy Barnes shutting down our town.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. This was released last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Talking about the town of Elizabeth.
Or the Ford factory.
Yeah, Holden.
Holden.
Oh, mate, okay. I'm getting sick of this.
You could not be more wrong.
It's mentioned in the song.
No, I'm not saying our caller's wrong.
Have you lived
saying
there?
You were wrong.
I don't think you have, and I have, so there you go.
Oh, well, that suits you.
Well, you've lived in Elizabeth.
The air base, Elizabeth, I was a RAF brat. I don't want to go into it now, but yes, I was on campus there for some time.
Explains a lot.
Explain a bit, doesn't it?
Thanks, Andy. Sorry, right. Unfortunately, that's not correct. Right. Let's go to Adam. Hello, Adam.
Hey, team, how are we doing?
Oh, yeah, now, good, you've got a very interesting song. I haven't heard this for a long time, but it's a pretty good call. What's your thoughts?
James Rain, Way Out West.
Oh. I think he did a duo with James Blundell from Memory.
Underrated, this song.
Yeah.
Dingoes did the original.
I think when I started boot scooting, this was my first.
I love the Dingoes too.
Boot scooting song.
Thank you. Is that correct, Swong?
No, it's not. It is not.
Dang
bally
it.
Hey, Adam, you loser.
Hey, we're going to Mark. Mark, where are you calling from?
Violet Town. How are you guys?
Oh Violet Town. There's rock and roll royalty from Violet Town.
What happens there?
Well, there is.
Well, what? Tell me about it, mate.
Well, why don't you have a guess?
Killing Heidi, ring a bell?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Killing Heidi. Mate, oh, I was telling Mick to have a guess, actually, Mark, not you.
Mark, I don't like your attitude.
Killing Heidi,
are you, what are you listening to us on, 95.3 FM up there?
We are.
Yeah,
yes,
old Bill Bradley for breakfast.
Yeah, Billy. Yeah.
Oh, well read, Rattles. Mick.
Hey, Jane, just because I care about our listeners and don't
Mark,
live in a gated community
in front of
somewhere
him.
On the Mornington Peninsula.
All right.
With your moat and yeah, ride on mowers. Okay.
With your Downton Abbey style stuff. Oh, man, look, because I like to know our public.
Yeah. You're a man of the people.
Yeah. Mark, what is it?
Bow River by Cold Chisel.
Oh.
Tell you what. Boxes.
Yeah. Ticks a few boxes. It was a very, very popular choice today.
Was he a factory worker?
Indeed he was.
What do you mean? He was. And then he left town. Where's the river coming in?
Wasting my days on a factory floor.
Oh, yeah, of course. It was my karaoke song.
Where's the river coming to it? He wants to know.
It's correct.
I know when he gets from the factory.
Correct.
Music. Oh, my God. Got it. You're not even listening to me now. Oh, great news, Mark. And that'll be a big win in Violet Town.
Well done, mate.
You know Killing Heidi.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, the Hoopers, they're from Violet Town. Shout out to Alan and
that's
Jessie.
What I said from the beginning. I said Killing Heidi was from Violet Town.
Okay, you can have the credit.
When I was on radio in Shepparton back in the day, they used to listen to me on the school bus, Ella and Jessie Hooper.
I know, Ella loves you, she said.
And still persevered with her career in music. It's astonishing.
Really astonishing. Good news, Mark. You've got a case of Brick Lane. It's got the draft, which is available at Dan Murphy's First Choice Liquor and selected good independent bottle stores. Slab of that. And we'll get you a Kennedy Malloy prize pack with some merch for you as well. So thank you so much.
The King of Violet Town.
Thanks for listening, Mark.
You got it.
Thanks very much, guys.
No worries.
Coming up next is Dr. Chris Brown.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
And joining us right now, he's a friend of our show. It's Dr. Chris Brown.
Hello, Dr. Chris Brown.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We're really well. Your ears must have been burning. I just want to quickly just open with this because we were having a little chat about you yesterday afternoon. In fact, we might have recorded it. This is what Dave had to say about you.
Dr. Chris Brown with his shirt off, Jane.
I beg your pardon?
I think he was posing with an animal or something.
Why did he have his shirt off?
I don't know. He just had the shirt off.
I will ask
him. Was it homoerotic?
I'm saying as a straight man, I thought, he's got a good rig.
Dave thought that was going to be very embarrassing to play, and I think it's correct. He is blushing, but
very awkward.
Exactly. I mean, it's not exactly the most hygienic, most sort of sensible practice to be posing shirtless with animals. I don't genuinely endorse it. So
what's going on? Why were you?
Well, I'd like to ask Dave, what publication, what semi-credible
Chris,
publication has he
you're
seen?
You're on Instagram. You're posing with
penguins. You're posing with penguins.
You clown. I'm looking at myself.
I'll give you a little tip on that. That was in South Africa. That really backfired. This is a good example of why
you
never pose shirtless around animals. Those those penguins were full of this gut parasite, right? Which is basically like a sea louse. And
tell me about it.
I left that little encounter with the penguins with a very questionable rash around certain parts of my body
blame it on the penguins.
Well, I just want to set up too that these are not little tiny baby fairy penguins. They're almost life size. So what was going on that beach?
it's a beach in South Africa where you can actually just go down, put a towel down, and there are penguins swimming around. And if they just lob up next to you, can you
eat penguin?
No.
I'd imagine it'd be a little fishy. Never tried it. It's sort of a mixture of, it'd be a mixture of, like, I reckon duck and fish.
Yeah, so we need a bit of batter. Hey, can I ask you this, Doc? What animals can you, it's a good question, what animals can you pose with? We know people pose with snakes, you get that down the stripping end of the pool a bit. people carry little dogs in their handbags. What animals out there would you give the green light to for posing with?
Look, I'd like to reaffirm my stance on the fact I'm not an animal poser.
There's you of a kitten, you and an emu, you and some penguins, you and a horse, you and a wombat, you and a...
I think your prerequisite is if they're domesticated. I think that probably is a fairly safe place to start. You don't want to be posing, you know, I think Siegfried and Roy demonstrated posing with tigers. You know, it can very quickly become a hospital visit for a different reason than a rash.
Hey, I apologise for the guys here, Jane and Dave, objectifying you too, because I know what it's like to be a bit of a himbo. I don't know if you've heard, Doc, but in 1993 I was voted one of the most handsome men on earth.
Hottest men, believe it or not, Chris. 30.
You're like me in a way. We're like peas in a pod. We're just sick of it, you guys. If you start leaving me and the Doc alone, treat us more like whole people.
I agree, and I can only assume that because you won it once, you were ineligible for the following 27 years.
Let's just say I may have let myself go. I may have really enjoyed my lap of honour. Okay, come on, let's get into some stuff. Now, what about Bindi Irwin? Can I ask you about Bindi Irwin? Mm. She is pregnant. Good on her. Good luck. She's having a daughter. And here's how the news was broken yesterday to us.
The pair spilling the news over social media, saying our beautiful daughter is now about the same size as a hatchling tortoise. Plenty of fans quick to suggest names for the soon-to-be parents, Stevie coming in as a hot favourite.
Yeah, so good luck showing that to your daughter. At least you didn't say piglet. But what do you make of that?
I think it's original. It's innovative. I'm excited to see where the next. You know, how many more months do we have? Do we have 6 or 7 months of animal fetus comparisons? I just my only word of warning to Bindi, and I do love Bindi, and I love the Irwins, is that if you're going to draw parallels between human pregnancy and animal pregnancy. I just hope that when the baby's born, she doesn't try to eat the afterbirth just to keep the predators at bay. Because
even if it's for health reasons,
that is what happens in the animal world to keep the predators away. That is usually the done thing. So
and also, when you're conceiving next time, don't do what the animal world does and do it in public. or dry root a cushion on your lounge room floor, because it's fine in the animal world, but not in the
you've got to draw a line, Nikki, and you've always been one for drawing a line. I know that.
Yes, that's right. It sounds like they put a lot of thought into it, though, like to compare it to a tortoise hatchling, which I'm looking at a picture now, which, you know, they could go the old kidney bean, which was like what you normally say. When that's
it's an interesting reference, isn't it? It doesn't jump out at you.
No, it doesn't.
Your standard ultrasonographer is going, oh, you're at the tortoise hatchling stage.
That's true.
Yeah, you don't have a gender reveal party with an additional animal comparison in an envelope.
Maybe we should start.
An animal gender reveal party, that'd be fantastic.
Could be.
Now we're talking. But look, I'm intrigued. I'm trying to sort of, in my mind, imagine what animal's next.
I'm sure she'll keep us in touch because she's very good with that on social media. Now, we've our executive producer here, Jay, has had two new visitors. Well, permanent visitors. We don't know how long they'll stay, actually. He's got two cats. And they're 2 years old.
Pure evil. Is that too strong a term?
They're
when
Burmese.
I look at these cats, I see pure evil.
And Jay sent us photos of them, and he only got them yesterday, and they look like they're totally shitting themselves. when you get cats and you're in an apartment and they're already 2 years old, are there any tips of how you can calm them? They look very anxious to me.
Prey is often a good place.
And Burmese as a breed, they're a little high.
What's their
high-end anxiety?
Are they a bit uppity?
No, they're generally they're quite playful. They're capable of living in an apartment indoors. They're actually not a bad choice. Are they related in any way? I mean,
Jay's on the line.
They are. They're cousins.
Yeah. Look, that will help. There is some family recognition. So that'll ensure that the likelihood of a major territorial dispute is somewhat. But that's the difference between dogs and cats. Dogs generally welcome social company, whereas cats like to mark out a territory and keep that and patrol that territory and that's very important for them. The biggest thing, Jay, I would say, would be we have a rule with litter trays. And if you're going to keep them inside, you don't just have one litter tray. You don't just have two litter trays. For two cats, you need three. So you generally need one per cat plus a spare.
Oh my God, the whole house turns into a kitty litter
pile. Yeah, sandpit.
Where they go to the toilet is it's kind of like how they, you know, when you buy a house or an apartment, you hammer in the sold sign at the front for them.
Oh,
that's how they
buy the
real estate. That's how they buy their little corner of the house is by weeing in that corner in the litter tray. So
Same here. Very similar.
It's convenient when you can't make it to the ensuite. Just have a litter tray in the corner.
All right, Doc. Always a pleasure to catch up with you. Anything else you're up to? What are your shows going? You got anything on the box at the moment?
A bit more living room until the end of the year, and then I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Fantastic. Is that now? Are you going to be? Can we get an exclusive?
Where
are you
going?
In this country, or are you able
Wolf
to
Creek.
Get out?
Is it Wolf Creek? Snowtown. You're going to Snowtown. Where are you going? Because you have to be in Australia.
You can please pitch in a location for us, Mickey, because you're already working clearly within the realms of possibility. I think, look, we want them to be challenged. There's been some talk about Northern New South Wales, where the UK version of the show is filmed.
Yeah.
I think the exciting thing about the Byron hinterland is
Byron.
That
just go to Byron. The celebs are already there.
Yeah.
Well, you just put a ring around Byron and go, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Well, also, while in Africa we have the danger of lions and leopards, in the Byron hinterland you have the danger of anti-vaxxers, which is potentially more lethal to any than anything else you find.
Correct. We'll look forward to that.
Well done, Chris.
All right, see you later.
Dr. Chris Brown. This is Kennedy Malloy.
See ya.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong? This is Kennedy Malloy.
Nick and Jane, Gone Wild.
Ah, the doc's got us in the mood again for a bit of animal chat. And let's start off with some feel-good light, the lighter end of the scale. Have you got one for us, Jane?
What's a cat story? Is that a feel-good story?
I'm listening.
Well, it could be, yeah. It's off the back of we're just talking about cats and the fact that Jay has a couple of new cats.
Yeah.
He's got two.
Mm.
Well, let's just go to Valencia in España.
Mm.
Well, people have just heard a bit of a noise going on in a lady's flat.
Mm.
And she had a few cats herself.
How many?
110, Mick.
Oh,
yes.
That's your crazy cat lady right there.
Yes.
What is Spanish for crazy cat lady?
It's carimba. Coloco. Now, but here's the crazy thing. Apparently, she took in a pair of cats, so you better make sure that your cats are neutered, Jay.
Yeah, yeah.
She took in a pair 3 years ago. And they've been procreating ever since.
Oh, man.
So that is the result of two cats. It's now 110.
Jeez.
Holy Toledo. There's another Spanish word.
No, I just want one more. I'd like 111 cats.
Yeah. No, that's I don't want to be cleaning the kitty litter trays up in that house.
Oh, mate, that's a full-time job.
That is a kitty
off
litter
the
flat.
Charts. There's not much a lot of sleep at night either, I'm guessing.
Oh, can you imagine?
Right.
And not, you know.
Think she's got a favourite?
Oh, she probably did. But you know what? They would give her nothing. That's why she had to keep getting them. She goes, come on, one of you cats, give me something.
Someone loved me.
110 cats. It's like your own wet market, isn't it?
That's true. Anyway, I don't know what's going to happen to them, and probably you don't want to be getting any ham on in that area of Valencia.
I've got a great feel-good story.
What have you got? Yeah, what's that?
From everyone, all our listeners in Gympie.
Oh, yeah.
Hello,
g'day.
Matty Dower.
Matt Dower, Gympie's favourite son.
He's a Gympie boy.
His alma mater. Yeah. He's a Gympie boy.
That's nice.
Father of two tradie, rode a stolen horse into a bar to punch a man in the face. And he's now charged with supplying meth after police discovered a series of incriminating text messages.
Oh, good Lord. I thought this was the start of a joke.
By the way, I should point out, he's the mayor of Gympie.
Oh, great.
That is classic Gympie behaviour.
Oh,
riding a horse into a bar, is that not every horse person's dream?
Have you ever wanted to do it? Just go. Flat chat, get off, punch someone in the face, drink his pot, get on, ride off into the sunset.
Wow.
Maybe carve a Z into his ass.
Hi-ho, silver. Away we go.
How good
sounds
is
like...
that? Now, that's good like parenting. That. Father of two. I'm going to do that. Now, that's the type of thing I think.
I like that.
I should do that for my boys.
Just you. It's such a great role model.
Anyway, and it was a stolen horse of two. That's what I liked. It was a stolen...
Oh, so top it off.
Like you do, just grab a horse, jump on.
Good stuff. Keep
well,
it up,
speaking
Gympie.
Of things being stolen, a Malaysian man said he lost his phone. It mysteriously turned up about 24 hours later in his backyard.
Hey, so it was stolen and returned.
It was stolen. It was it ended up back in his backyard.
That's crazy.
He's going through and he realizes, it looks like some photos have been taken. Well, this must be the perpetrator. Finally, I've caught them red-handed.
Here we go.
They've taken selfies.
Done.
Who's done it? A monkey. Oh, yes.
What?
A monkey has stolen his phone and has been playing with it. Obviously, it was unlocked. And there is a series of selfies from a monkey that basically must live behind the back fence. Where is it?
Any dick pics?
He did try and eat it, and you can see right down his gob. Well, he's actually videoed himself. It's actually quite hilarious.
There's a shot of his esophagus.
Yeah, there is. His esophagus.
Esophagus. Mm.
Yes, you could do that. So there you go. That's
what
happened.
Do you remember a while ago there was the story of a monkey that stole a camera and took a selfie. And the guy, it became the most popular photo in the world.
Right.
Like, it was the most looked at photo of that year.
Yeah.
Mm. And then a bunch of animal activists sued the owner for all the money because they claimed the copyright was owned by the monkey.
Right.
I'd love to have seen the monkey in court because I would have had to make him wear one of those suits.
Yeah, that's right.
I love the monkeys in here.
Yeah, exactly.
A monkey in a suit. I've got another phone story to do with animals. Now, this one surprises me. There was a survey done and 40% of pet owners, they may claim they love their dogs, but they said they would give up their dog to keep their iPhone for a month. So it was proposed to them. For a month.
Jeez.
To lose your iPhone or keep your dog. And they said, take my dog.
But
thank you
on,
very
lose
much.
Lose your dog for a month or your iPhone for a month or just like, have your dog gone forever?
No, I don't think it's forever. Have we got a story about it?
Here's a story.
Let's have a listen.
A new survey shows 40% of pet owners would give up their dog for a month instead of ditching their phone. A marketing company called Simple Texting polled more than 1,000 smartphone users in the U.S. Dogs did have a slight advantage over romance. 44% of people surveyed said that they'd go without seeing their partner for a month if they could keep their phone.
Okay.
But we're not talking forever, are we?
No, we're not talking forever. Well, it's all right.
Very unclear.
But we're saying that it was, you've got a month. Do you want to not see your dog for a month and keep your phone? That's what they went for.
So. Oh, well, if you've got a picture of your dog
on
your phone.
I would never do that, never.
Here's a good story. A woman got a worm drunk and played it loud music and she could win a big prize. A worm drunk on vodka and listening to tunes on a speaker in a Victorian backyard shed has led to two Aussies winning a global science prize.
Oh, well
Hang
done.
On.
Jesus.
Represent. This is a real story then.
Who knew vibrating a slightly inebriated earthworm on a subwoofer? This sounds like piss farting around.
Hang on, they're going to win a Nobel Prize for this.
Well, where's my money for...
For your animal experimentation.
Who knew vibrating a slightly inebriated earthworm on a subwoofer speaker in a backyard could land you one of the biggest science prizes it did?
Good Lord.
It may radically change scientists' understanding of how the brain functions.
I see. And they use earthworms because they're cheap, they don't require ethics approval, and their axons are somewhat similar to mammalian nerve fibres.
What about the first person? I'll tell you, you should win an award. The first person to put a worm into a tequila bottle. that was a breakthrough for the good of all men.
Well, they started early. They should get their prize.
Hey, all right. That's gone wild for another week.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
And it's thanks to Neds. You can find the perfect match to your form preferences easily with the Neds filter form. It's neds.com.au.
And I'm going to give this thing an absolute bashing over the spring carnival. See the AFL finals, the NRL finals. It's going to be like an extension of my arm.
That's true. You've also got cricket, of course, and tennis, which is my favourite as well.
It's a bet on someone doing something funny. No, it's not that funny and getting a huge
Rafael Nadal may be doing something. Okay. But you can find your perfect match on, and as Mick has pointed out, it's a bit like racing Tinder, isn't it, Mickey?
That's
right. How you use this app.
Gambling Tinder, whatever sport you're on, it does all the heavy work, all the leg work, and basically serves it up to you on a platter. You choose what you want, and whooshka, bang, you're out there. And as I pointed out yesterday, and a lot of my friends have been paying this point, it takes, you've got your race book in one hand, your form guide in another, you've got to find a pen, you've got your glasses, you've got a drink in one hand, you're trying
to
do it
to
all.
So much to juggle.
Yeah, and, you know, you're carrying your girlfriend's handbag while she's off doing something, you know what I mean.
I do.
All of a sudden, get rid of the lot. It's in your phone, which you've got anyway.
Too easy.
This just streamlines the whole event. You're three links out in front before you've even placed a bet. How good will this be? What's your criteria when backing horses? Do you look for top jockeys, Jane, top trainers?
I do. I look for form, but it's very confusing when I've got the form guide out and I'm trying to be social and chit-chat and drink from a glass of champagne. I just I had it in my hand and I can just see, for example, the races, the track wins and the wins last start.
Do you bet on names? Do you bet on names yourself?
Well, I'm a bit more discerning, but I could probably just do that through this app, couldn't I?
Here's a good name. I wonder if a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Neds would tip you into this horse.
Okay.
First kiss in front from Starflight. Charmers can't reach them, seemingly. First kiss from battling away Starflight with Charmers. But first kiss, do you remember yours? Mine was Sarah Kettridge. First kiss wins from Starflight second.
Well, Sarah Kettridge just fell off the edge of her chair at home some 40, 50 years later.
That's
I'd say. Oh, how good is that?
Well done.
Oh,
Ned.
Excellent. Thank you,
Ned. Remember your first kiss, Joan?
No. I don't.
Dave?
It's very hazy.
Mine was New Year's Eve, Barwon Heads, and I don't know who she was, but I still remember it.
Sounds a bit random.
Just last year it was. Hey, Neds are the best in the business. The IT nerds have been working their rings off so you can have a great time at the track or at the game. Take advantage. This is the best offer you'll ever get.
Well done, Neds. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. If you need help, call the National Problem Gambling Hotline on 1800 858 858 or head to gamblinghelpline.org.au. And this is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, there's another show done for the day. Oh, you got Front Bar tonight, don't forget.
With our mate, Santo Chilaro.
Excellent.
One of the sexiest men on Earth in 1993.
Yeah, he's on the list, isn't he?
He's on the list.
A young man named Rob Sitch, some of you may know, and of course me. Mm. And of course, I also featured in The Funniest Guys.
So you gazumped him, did you?
So all I was fourth there.
Yeah.
And Rose Amber.
So Santo used to wear a purple suit to university.
Was that Tom?
Mm. No, Santo.
Tom drove a purple car.
Did he?
He did, yes. Tom loved purple, but I'm pretty sure it was Santo who used to walk around in a purple.
Like,
Santo was quite individual.
Of them lost their virginity to very late in the piece.
Sort of like the purple wiggle sort of style, sort of before the Jeff Fatt.
Yes, so all their favourite colours.
Yeah.
Oh, no. All right, well, I'll ask him about it tonight on the show.
That's true, and we've got great advice about cats today, so
we
just hope that the Song Whisperer's cats are okay because they look
desperate.
Very scared.
They would kill him. They would kill him.
No, they want to escape.
Yeah,
looks very distressed.
Yeah, there's trouble.
Good luck tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks.
Front Bar Channel 7 is on tomorrow on our show. Nate Valvo is going to swing by for a chat, which is great. Funny man. Clown of the Week being a Friday. We'll have our week in review and a whole lot more. That'll be tomorrow's Kennedy Malloy.
Now you're all caught up on Kennedy Malloy. Find your perfect match to your form preferences easily with Ned's Filter Form. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.